What is your name?
Randy Cushman.
So if
you're, do you like onions and pepper?
Ground fish out of Port Clyde, where do you go ground fishing?
Well,
yeah.
The Gulf of Maine.
There's like a lot of different ledges between here and Seal Island and Monhegan, and then there's Monhegan Falls and all these other ones. Different seasons, you go to different areas around the...
Yes, we do. Usually I cover anywhere from... I'm usually down around Jeffreys Bay and outside of Mount Desert.
Yeah.
That's usually our general area. Basically anywhere from 20 miles to 40 miles offshore in that range.
Okay. So these are usually day trips then?
No. My trips are usually 2 to 3 day trips. You know, 2 to 3 day trips.
Now that a lot of
Do you use that boat?
Where's the wind from?
Got the dog.
Oh. We call it the Memorial. It never goes fishing.
Oh.
No. My boat's that one. That one was like the Miss Kenny. The white southern rig right there.
Okay.
That's my vessel. That one to the left of that, the green one.
Yeah.
That's Gary Libby, Glenn Libby's brother. The one left of that, Steve Benners. We grew up together. He's native. And over there is Travis Dobb Johnson. His brother's the one that died at sea here recently, about 2-3 years ago, mm-hmm. in the service. The left of that is Glenn Libby, the one that you talked about, Paul. Mm-hmm. That green one there is Postal Lobster Boat. The one left of that is the Captain Lee. That's the one that's named after my father. My father's Lee Cushman. He taught Libby's how to fish. Taught me too, also. Glenn Libby's son runs that boat. Huh. Buzzer, we call him. His name's Justin Libby.
Each boat only is getting so many days at sea. That's pretty much the management tool then.
Right.
Some closed areas and things.
Right.
Have you been able to basically accumulate enough days to make a living?
No, not really. I'm surviving, that's it. Living-wise, yes, I am making a living, but it's not a comfortable living, let's put it that way. Which is basically what's happened is the vessels are going downhill. That's the problem. We cannot make enough money now to maintain our vessels like we should.
In addition, I'm sure you have to plan any day that's a bust is a big kick in the pants when you've only got 30 days or I don't know how many days you've got there.
I had 48.5 days this year. And I've already used them. I just used my last trip a little over a week ago, about 10 days ago. And now I'll work on the boat and get my shrimp net ready for shrimp season. That usually opens around 1st December. Yes, every day counts. You lose one, there's no getting it back. That's a loss.
So you're following the codfish around or the other fish around as they move around those banks then and things
right. That comes from experience.
Right. How long have you been ground fishing?
I've been a captain now for going on, it'll be 26 years next spring. A little over 25 years I've been captain. Mm-hmm. I've been on the water as a fisherman since I was 12 years old. That's 33 years, I would say, in that neighborhood.
And has that mostly been out of Port Clyde here?
It's been all out of Port Clyde.
Oh, yeah.
Over 85,000 hours on the ocean as a captain.
85,000?
Mm-hmm.
Getting a few blows out there then.
Yes. Because we go a lot less than we used to now. If we put 2,000 hours on a vessel this day and age between shrimping and ground fishing, you're doing a lot. But before the days of sea, it wasn't unheard of to put 4,000 or 5,000 hours a year on a vessel.
But now that you've got this tight schedule, you've got to get your money's worth out of that time.
Right, yes we do.
So
you got to make every day count. I personally don't target cod, and this fleet in Port Clyde do not target codfish. We stopped tagging codfish years and years ago when they put triple on it. The only way I can put it to you is, right now we're allowed 800 pounds of cod per day. Well, 800 pounds of cod per day is not even going to begin to cover your overhead. Mm-hmm. It costs us vessels now, on the average, in this harbor, $1,000 a day. just for your general expenses. That's fuel, ice, and grout. Well, 800 pounds of codfish at $1.50 a pound is $1,200.
So you're that don't leave much your ice out there, huh?
So,
oh my God.
So we tag it, we mainly tag it, flounders and monktails, our main species.
Now, those are in two quite different environments, aren't they?
Yes, as a rule, yes.
Because monkfish are deeper, are they?
No, codfish is most generally, as a rule, always been a harder bottom fish,
mm-hmm.
which is like gravelly, sand, gravel, and rocky bottom. Flats and monktails that we target are mainly in the mud, flat mud.
So the monkfish like mud, too?
Right, yes, they do.
And so, trolling on mud, it's less of an impact to kelp and seaweed and all that sort of thing.
Yes, yes, yes. And we've been also, we've been cutting back on our gear on our own. I have been personally lightening my gear every year.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I redo my gear, I lighten it on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning towards more of a cleaner fishery and a higher quality garter. And by doing that, you lighten your gear.
And so that cleaner fishery involves both knowing what season, what's where, but also the size of the mesh you've got and
right.
things.
Right. Yeah, and then the size of your gear and the weight on your gear.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain parts of your gear that actually float and certain parts that sink. It's like chain versus a float. And that give you a general.
Do you think
idea.
There'll ever be any commercial hook fishery back in these waters again?
What I understand of the commercial hook fishery of it, it has been tried here in the past. It's successful on certain species.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest part was hake and pollock. Codfish, it was difficult. It was harder to catch codfish. What we target, flounders and monk, I don't know if they figured, nobody's really came up with an idea about catching the flounders with a hook, because gray sole, for example, you're looking at a mouth that's
like a little trout hook.
Right. And to get that trout hook, the bottom is going to be about 100 pound weight. So
and you have to have enough something on there to attract that critter's attention.
We've been trying to think of something, because like I said, this harbor, we've always mainly targeted flounders and monk, and which has been more of a sustainable species over the years, you know, compared to codfish and the other species. But a way of catching, taming them, other than what we do now, nobody's come up with anything.
Oh, okay.
A hook's not going to do it.
So. I'm curious. What do monkfish eat? I mean, what have you found when you're cleaning them?
Monkfish?
Yeah. What
they eat most everything.
I've only met a whole monkfish at the lobster festival there, where I'm spending time showing kids all them teeth in there.
They have big mouths. The mouths are almost as big as the length of the body. Well, they're that big for a reason. They eat a lot. Whatever can go in that mouth, they'll eat. So they eat a lot of small other ground fish species,
mm-hmm.
the dabs, the gray sole, small hake, whiting, herring,
mm-hmm.
you name it, whatever they can get in there, other than shellfish. I've never have yet seen a shellfish in there.
Oh, is that right?
But fish species, mm-hmm. so they'll eat it.
Well, then keeping a good steady fishery on them, it turned out to be sustainable then.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
And because that's one that's always solid there on the fish auction reports from the Portland Fish Exchange.
Monkfish.
Yes. And you, seems like you're, the size limitations seem different from other fish where there's peewees and there's different marketing sizes.
Right.
But are there size limits on monkfish?
Yes, there is. Yes. They go by a monk tail length. Mm-hmm. And the minimum length you could have on monk is 11 inches.
Oh, okay.
So that's still
I mean, I don't know how big is a really big monkfish?
Ooh. A large 4 feet with a head on.
Uh-huh.
You know, you cut the tail off, you lose about halfway. So a 2 foot tail.
Still, that's a big chunk of meat there.
Yes, it is.
And a hell of a smile, too.
Yeah, it is at the price, yeah.
But you've never found lobster or already? Never found lobster or other shellfish or scallops or anything, huh?
Well, yeah, we catch some lobsters and crabs.
I mean, the monkfish guts. You've never
No.
What about shackfish? shack fisheries, you know. What do you...
What is it? Say it.
Shack.
Shack?
Shack fishery. That's, you know, like you said, you'll catch some other things in the net sometimes besides your...
Oh, that was years ago, what you consider shack. Yeah, like they saw the excess, what they used to catch the lobster bait. That's the mill for us now. What we have left over, I saved in a trip, what we call shack, is usually a lobster bait, which used to be undersized species, which they're not allowed to bring in.
Oh, right.
Like hay kids, because you cut the heads off, monk heads. What I get in a one trip, in 3-day trip now, if I get a tray full, I'm doing well. The rest of it just about goes down the fish hole. So our fishery's pretty clean, a lot cleaner than it ever was. A lot of that's due to what we've done to our gear and a larger mass size. It's made a lot cleaner fish. Basically, what you see is what you get now when you bring the bag aboard.
Well, that's a very pretty clean fishery then.
Huh. It's right around the neighborhood of 5% bycatch.
What is the bycatch when you're dragging mud?
Usually you're undersized species, smaller flounders, smaller monkfish. You might get one heron, one whiting, something in that neighborhood, and a tide. Half a dozen crabs, maybe one lobster. Not a whole lot. No. 5% isn't much.
No.
You're getting like 600 pounds of fish, or 800 pounds.
So what kind of harvest, you know, you said it could be a challenge since each day has to count in your fishery. How many pounds is a good bring home?
6,000 to 8,000 pounds, 2-3 days.
And that's just the tails then?
No, monkfish and flounders mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And you do get some groundfish with it, hake, pollock, but we don't, like I said, we don't tag them. That's something while you're tagging the flounders, you're still going to get some flounderfish, you're still going to get some hake, you're still going to get some pollock. But you're not going to get a large amount of them because you're tagging them. And vice versa, if you're tagging hake, pollock, codfish, you're going to get more of them than you are flounders a month. Depends how you, what you tag.
Have you ever thought of offshore lobstering?
Have I?
Yeah.
I think they have enough in it now, don't need any more. And I'm not going to add to that any more of a problem that will turn into.
So there's a fair number of people fishing that are lobstering, say, out on Jeffrey's Ledge or even on Jeffrey's Bank?
Every year we see more and more. Every year.
Another round.
Oh, my God.
It's starting to get cold.
5-8-0-7-3.
Well, look, thanks a bunch for your time there.
You're welcome.
What? Too many pockets here.
5-8-0-7-3-0.
I think I missed my
figures. he's real good.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, and
our fishery's come a long way since, you know, when I was younger. Because back then they had lost small mesh.
Yeah.
Things were just.
So the bigger mesh it's working then as far as allowing a lot of this old bycatch.
5-8-0-7-1-4. You'd bring a 3,000 pound bag aboard.
That's 5-8-0-7-1-4.
So them days ain't really that way.
No.
Especially now we got the Norwood grade. They'll chimp in.
They're kicking anything out.
Another one. 5-8-0-7-6-2.
Norwood grade.
Ever see any turtles up here?
Sea turtles, yeah. But we never had that. We never had that kind of problem. We
have
turtles, of that nature. Anything's above the bottom column.
Yeah.
We don't.
But that Nordmar is gotten the
down south.
Yeah.
Right. The turtles, sea turtles. Right. They got a lot more on the farm we do. A lot more.
So do you have to use any kind of grate up here on your shrimp?
Yeah. For fish. It eliminates our fish.
So is it just the fish will pop up and the shrimp will just keep heading back?
I have one right up my shell. I can show you.
Yeah.
I'm fished out. I'm building one right now. I can hatch
right.
out. I can show you how it actually works. So,
yeah, well that'd be interesting.
You'd be interested, yeah.
Yeah.
We shovel now. We took an observer. I was out here, 2 miles from that point right there. Caught 6,000 pounds in an observer in the last couple of days. And what we had for bycatch? All day long, 6,000 pounds of shrimp,
right.
A quarter of a bucket.
So
you can't put a percentage on it.
No, but you can sure say that, because that was a real, I remember the reading from the 1960s or something in National Fisherman. They were doing experimental fishery up in the upper Penobscot Bay. It was the second species that was up there, and they were smaller. But they realized when they towed, because they needed a smaller message, smaller shrimp, they were bagging a lot of juvenile fish. I mean, way too much.
Right.
And so
right.
they just gave up on that just because the shrimp were small enough that they needed a small enough mesh that was still going to be a bugger there.
You got to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, right. Well, something will eat them, even if people don't. Sure of that.
We don't have that problem.
Yeah.
That Norwood Gray,
did you come to check?
It's just... the head of your cod in about 20 feet.
Yeah.
15 to 20 feet, it's on the angle. The bass facing is 1 inch. And then you got a big hole, about 3 foot by 3 foot hole.
Yeah.
And when that fish is shifting down together, the lobster's through, they hit that grate, and the fish can't get through, and they go right off through that hole, and the lobster's with the shrimp going through the bar.
Shrimp go right through the bars there.
Right the
everything else gets
right.
sent up. Hell of a shock, but
right.
sure beats going into a cod head.
It certainly does. They get a chance. At least they get a chance, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
It's okay. Albert. It's Randy Cushman.
Nice to meet you, Randy. I don't know if I ever met you before.
What's your name?
Abe Curtis.
Abe Curtis. I see you, Irene Elton, yeah. Irene Elton.
Yeah, I was with Bernard years
Bernard,
ago.
I know Bernard very well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bernard and, yeah.
He's a good man.
Randy Hall that ran the move.
Yeah. Yeah, I was never with him.
Yeah. You must have sword fishing on there.
No.
Scalloping. Scalloping, okay.
It's nice for you to give him an interview because Dougie and I were from the old school.
Right.
I think he can help in the old school and the new school, too.
Oh, yeah. He's come a long way since then, I'll tell you. I've seen bowlers all the way.
Yeah.
I was a young fellow.
Yeah.
My first car is 12 years old.
Is that right?
Let me use your pen, will you?
Pardon?
Let me use your pen.
Oh.
Appreciate it. Nice meeting you, too.
Nice meeting you, too.
There you go. That should
when
do
my,
it.
I found a happy duck in the drag of it. You put me on a boat for it.
Yeah.
They didn't back in, they never give you a lot. But there's no kite kicking on your wheels, there you go, son.
Hey, thanks a lot.